Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Let me just share a few things with you. First of all, as you know, we're in that voting time of the year, and I really want to encourage you to vote. You know, I hear a lot of stuff. And people say a lot of stuff to me, and I listen. But we have a responsibility to vote. So first of all, you need to vote. But you need to ask yourself a couple questions, and I'm going to drill this until that time. The questions is, how would God vote? Biblically. You see, sometimes both candidates are not for life. Sometimes they are. But you got to look at the candidate that's best, that in a sense will look at life, look at freedom for liberty. Everybody has a right to worship God, whatever God that is. I may not agree with them, but they have a right to do so. That's what America's about. We are a hogposh of individuals. And everybody's different. I don't know why everybody's trying to find in a cookie cutter. You're not a cookie cutter. You are different than everybody else, and that's okay. But you got to look about religious freedom, life. Do they value life in the womb? God knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb, in the secret place. You don't want to step on the grass because you just planted it. Well, you know what? There's an incredible baby that's being grown inside, and that's a gift. Where's our sister? How you're popping bigger than every time I see you. Praise the Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift. So, life, religious freedom, someone who know how to lead, not according to popular opinion, because we live today about popular opinion. You know, I live with the audience of one. I care about what God cares about. And I'm not going to do horizontal. I figured if I can get this right, this will come. I'm out of time. Amen? Let me just say a few things about her before she brings forth the word of God. Rhett has been doing the children's ministry as long as the Statue of Liberty has been a little girl. She's been doing it for, longer than when I got here many years ago. She was involved with the kids, and she has a heart for the kids. She's done a terrific job. She's also such a worker for this church, and I am so grateful for this young lady here who is such a strong hand and a help here at Salem First Assembly. I want you to pray for her, all that she's doing and desires to do, and we appreciate you. We really do, because you know those who work behind the scenes know the truth of what we do and what we go through, and you'll have a heart of gold that loves kids. And so give us the word of God and bless us this morning. Appreciate you.
Amen. I really, really didn't want to be all the way up here, but he's making me. But I'm not going to use the chair, if that's okay. So let me move that over here, because I don't think I could stay seated. So, okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be with all of you, to give you an encouraging word, because we need that encouraging word for our day, for our week. And I am blessed to see Miss Stella in church today. She is a wonderful lady of the Lord, and she was over the Sunday school department and children, and she just, you know, was the person that I went after, right? And she's really shown me, when you put your heart into something, that God will work through it. So thank you, Miss Stella. And kids, I'm sorry I'm not having church today. I'm like, you know, all these weeks I've had children's church, and we don't have, like, no kids. And then I look back, and there's 10 kids back there today. So I'm like, oh, Lord. But God, again, uses everything for a purpose. So guys, just today you're going to be listening to Miss Loretta up here. Okay, so we can get our lesson downstairs, but we can get just as much up here in adult service too. So guys, come back and we'll have kids church next week, okay? Okay, all right, so let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you are over it all. As my son Tim continually says during worship and during his prayer, that we don't have to worry, we don't have to stress, we don't have to fear, because you are our creator. You are the one who loves us. You are the one who's always there. You are the one, Lord God, that gives us the victory that we need each and every day. Help us, Lord, to remember that, Lord. And I pray as I give this word today that you will just bless it and let it be your words, Lord God. Nothing from myself, but all from you. We give this time over to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. All right. Now, it was almost 1 year ago, because I come up here every Children's Ministry Sunday. And like I said, it was almost 1 year ago today that I came up and I was talking about Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. And I don't know if any of you remember that or not, but I printed out that message this week and I'm going over it. And Pastor, I almost gave that message again because I was like, wow, we're in such a time as that where the church really needs to, you know, rise up again and get rid of those dry bones and let the Holy Spirit just work through us. But I was going over the key points of that message that I gave last year, and I was like, you know what? We're going to do a year review here of those key points, because later I'm going to incorporate those key points into the message today. Okay, so the key points was God knows where we're at. Amen? Thank God for that. We should never, ever forget that. He always knows where we're at. Number two, he then wants us to acknowledge where we're at in the situation that we're in. Because a lot of times we go through life just, you know, with blinders on, and we don't really recognize the severity of the situation that we're in. But God wants us to recognize where we're at. Number three, he then gives us a choice in how we're going to respond to that situation. He says, are you going to respond in faith, or are you going to respond in doubt and discouragement? And that's where number four comes in. If we respond by putting our trust and faith in him, then we're going to have to step out in faith to see change occur. Amen? Amen. Okay. So the title of today's message is The God Who Stays. And I was really excited to prepare this message, because I've been thinking about this for like a whole year now. I heard this song by Matthew West, and as I was telling you guys Wednesday night, I really enjoy worship songs and the message of worship songs and how God uses these artists to incorporate his word into their songs. And as I was listening to that song, I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. These words are, you know, not just for me, but for anyone that's feeling discouraged or not worthy or just having a really awful time. And let me just read you the beginning words of that song so you know what I'm talking about here. If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, because I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, because I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. Remember that line. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I love it. And that's just the beginning. There's more. It's just such an amazing song. So as I'm listening to this song, that part where it says, you're the God who runs in my direction, I was like, oh my Lord, that is so cool. And automatically I thought of the prodigal son, of the part in that story where the father, you know, sees his son from far off, and he doesn't just wait, you know, in the yard. He runs to greet his son with loving arms. And I was like, oh Lord, that is so how you are with us, right? There, you don't just wait around. You are waiting there with loving, open arms for us to come to him, no matter what we're going through. The parable of the lost son is found in Luke 15, and that's what we're going to go over today. And it's a very basic lesson with a basic message that we all need to hear. But like I said, we're going to go over it, and I'm going to go over the first two parts really, really quick, but we're going to concentrate on the lost son part. So Luke 15. Now, just as a reminder, a parable is a story that Jesus used to teach a spiritual point to whoever was listening. And in Luke 15, there are three parables that Jesus uses to teach his spiritual point to the listeners. In the beginning of Luke 15, it starts with verse 1, if you're there. I don't know, Timmy, have that up there for you? Okay, great. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So right away, we're going to stop right there. Right away, we see Jesus spending time with those in the community that don't have the best reputations. The tax collectors at that time, nobody really liked them. They're taking all the money, and they're taking more than they're supposed to. And the sinners, the ones that weren't following God, they're all gathering around Jesus because they want to hear, you know, what this man has to say. And then we have the Pharisees, which are the religious leaders of that time, the teachers of the law, and they're all about the law. They're not about grace. They're not about forgiveness. They're just like, this is what you're supposed to do, and that's it. But Jesus, you know, hears them, and it says in there that they were muttering. Muttering means you're talking really low, like, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe. Can you believe? Look at what he's doing. And Jesus uses that opportunity to teach these Pharisees, these religious leaders, a point about why he really came. And we know why he came because we learn that, of course, in the basic John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then in Luke 19:10, praise the Lord, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Those tax collectors and those sinners that were, you know, gathering around Jesus at that time, they were the lost. That's why Jesus was there, to seek and to save them. And praise the Lord, that's why he was there for us too, to seek and save us, because we were the lost also. Jesus goes on to share the first parable about a lost sheep. Now, we're not going to read that. I'm just going to paraphrase that really, really quick here. But there's 100 sheep, and the shepherd has these 100 sheep, and if you know anything about a shepherd, they're all about their sheep. They take care of their sheep so well, and, you know, they're out there. He's out there with his 100 sheep, and he's counting probably. I'm sure they do a count of all their sheep, and he sees one missing. Well, you would think, well, he still has 99. Well, no. He's like, you know what? This sheep is so valuable to me. I'm going to leave the 99 because they're okay. They're fine. And I'm going to go look for that lost one, because that lost one is going to get into trouble if I'm not there for him or for, you know, the sheep. So he goes and he's looking all over, and praise the Lord, he finds his sheep, and he comes back and he's full of joy and he's so excited and he celebrates because he found the lost one, and now he knows that lost one is safe. So that's a celebration moment. And then he goes on to talk about a lost coin. This woman has 10 coins, and 10 coins, you know, to us probably doesn't sound very like a lot. But to this woman, these 10 coins were very important. I don't know why. I don't know if it really says why. But she loses one. And she's like frantic. I can't believe I lost this one coin. So she turns on every light in the house, and she's sweeping, you know, everywhere, cleaning up everything in her house, because she's like, I got to find my coin. I got to find my coin. This is valuable to me. And then finally she finds that coin, and she just doesn't celebrate herself. She calls all her neighbors, and she's like, I'm so happy I found my lost coin. So Jesus uses these two great stories to try and get the Pharisees to understand that's what it is when one lost soul comes back to me. When one lost soul is found, he celebrates. And not just him, but all of heaven has a celebration when one lost soul is found. That's how important we are to him. His third parable is about a lost person. Now, I think this is just my little thought here. I think he probably uses a lost person as the third parable because he wants, and he tells a great long story about this lost son because his creation is his most important. We have been created in his image, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and he wants to know that wherever we're at, he's there for us. We're precious to him. We're valuable. He cares about when we're hurting, when we're lonely, and, of course, when we're lost. And he wants to remind us that he is the God who stays, who cares, who loves. He sees in us so much more value than what others may see, and sometimes even probably what we see in ourselves at times. And he rejoices when we come to him. So let's go on to the third parable. And we're going to read Luke 15, 11 to 24. I think Timmy's going to have that up on the screen for you too. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son." Remember that part in the song, which is amazing. "He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And then they began to celebrate." Now, this parable is about a father who had two sons, right? And the younger son says one day, "You know what? I'm done. I'm out of here. I want to go do my own thing. And, you know, I'm just ready." And when I was reading that or thinking about that, I was like, you know what? How many times have we known somebody like that, or even in ourselves, you know, have felt that way, like, we're done? How many times in the day have you said that? I am so done. I have. All right. Well, this, we want to do what we want to do, right? Or another person you may know, I'm not pointing fingers here, but I just know how I feel. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and we come up with some really good reasons why our plan is best. Has anybody else been there? Yeah. All right, so the son, this younger son, he thinks he has the best plan for himself, which he has a lot of nerve, actually, with the plan that he has. He's going to go to his dad and ask for his share of the inheritance. And if you know anything about an inheritance, you don't get that early, right? Usually, you'll get your share of your parents' estate or whoever, you know, if you're in somebody's will, after they are no longer here. But so, like I said, this was like a really bold request for this young son to go to his dad early and ask for this. So I'm sure his father was probably hurt, not just financially, because it was still his money, you know, that he was using, but it probably even more hurt him emotionally as a father, right? Excuse me. But he did not hold his son back from going his own way. He gives him his money. And but I'm sure, like I said, it made him feel very sad, and he was probably thinking, this is not the plan that I had for you, my son. Now think about that when it comes to Jesus, or God, I should say, as our Heavenly Father. He says that his plan is best, and when he sees one of us hurting or lonely or lost, I'm sure it hurts him deeply too. One of Pastor's favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's the plan that our Heavenly Father has for us. And like I said, I'm sure this father in this story had an awesome, great plan for his son too. But his son just wanted to go his own way. The thing about God is that he gives us a free choice too in how, you know, what path we're going to follow. Because he knows when we choose to freely come to him and not be forced to come to him for help, then it's going to be a more loving, growing relationship if we come to him on our own free will. And that's the kind of God we serve. He's that loving, gracious God, not that one that forces anything on us. But again, so many times we choose just to go our own way like the younger son did. So the younger son gets the money, and he doesn't just move down the street. It says that he moved to a far, far away. He just wanted to get as far away as possible to live out his plan. And it says in verse 13 that he squandered his wealth in wild living. Squandered means to waste something like money or time in a reckless or foolish manner. It doesn't say exactly what he did, but we can just come up with our own things about, you know, how he squandered all this money. It says he's young. So maybe, you know, he's partying all the time and buying all this useless stuff, and he's probably got a bunch of people around him that are enjoying the money too and acting like, you know, they're his friends. You know anybody like that? But something happens, doesn't it, as he's going living like this. The money runs out, and I'm sure all those friends that were around him, they're gone too, right? Because that's usually what happens. And then to top it all off, there's a food shortage that comes into the land. He gets so desperate that he had to get a job feeding pigs. And I read that in Jewish culture, pigs are unclean, so you really shouldn't even be around them. So he's really, you know, down and out with the pigs. He even goes as far as looking at the pigs' food and, you know, that looks pretty good. I wish I could just go ahead and eat that. That's how desperate he is. But in this moment, he was probably thinking, what have I done? What have I done to my life? What have I done to myself? I'm in such a hopeless situation. I'm such a lost cause. Remember that part in the song? I'm such a lost cause at this point. I'm so beyond repair. But is that how God sees us? No, not at all. He says in Psalms 139 that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, designed with a great purpose. Now, before I go to that, you know, I'm sure this happens to you too and anybody else that's done a message. But I kept thinking and thinking and thinking about, okay, what else can I add, you know, in here or in there, you know, what would sound good? So I'm getting ready this morning and I'm going over this part, you know, that this is not the way God sees us. And I'm like, I told Tim, I was like, oh, I have all this other stuff I can say about that one little part. And he's like, well, calm down. You ain't got that much time. So, you know. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? We're not just fearfully and wonderfully made, right, for that great purpose. God sees us. He doesn't want us to sit in the mud with the pigs and stay in that down, like self-pity, lonely, despair, discouraging, oh, woe is me, you know, way. That's not his plan for us. I just read before that his plan is to prosper us, right? and to see us have a hope and a future. You know, we shouldn't be walking around with the pigs, basically. We need to walk around as who we are in the Lord. We are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so we should be walking around in victory. And like I said, I could say so much more on that point right there, but, you know, we're just going to go on. But that just really excited me this morning, knowing, just thinking, you know, how are we going to stay? Down and out or up here with the Lord? And I want to be up here in the Lord. And the only way I can do that is if I just keep looking to him for help. And this is where those key points from last year's message comes in to today's message. One, God knows where we're at. It says in Psalms 33:13, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. Isn't that amazing, Juan? Guys, kids, God sees you right where you're at. Isn't that cool? When you go home, he sees you. If you went to Florida, he'll see you. If you go to California, will he see you? Yes. The Lord looks down and sees all mankind. It says in Psalms 139, you know when I sit down and when I stand up. And you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. So he knows where you're at today. And that, to me, that's exciting. That's a great, great promise and a great encouragement that no matter how far I feel away from God, he's still there. He still stays with us. Number two, then God wants us to acknowledge our situation, right? And I believe in verse 17, this young man does. It says he came to his senses. So he's sitting there with the pigs, wanting their food, and he's like, you know what? I could just like see like a light bulb come over him, you know, like this is crazy. What am I doing? He goes on to say, as he's thinking, you know, about his home life, that even my father's hired servants have more food than I do. And when, like I said, when we truly acknowledge the situation that we're in and God opens our eyes to it, then we can begin to see that things need to change. Because there has to be something better than where we're at, how we're feeling, what we're doing. But we can only do that as if we choose to look to him to help us. And then number three, we then have a choice in how we're going to respond to our situation. And this young man, he didn't stay with the pigs, right? He didn't stay down. He was like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. He came up with a plan. He said, I'm going to return to my father, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness for what I did to him. But it also, if you really think about it as you're reading this, you can tell that he's so still feeling unworthy. Even though he's going to ask for forgiveness, even though, you know, he's going to probably fall before his father, you know, and just tell him how sorry he is, he still feels so unworthy and feels so ashamed that he does not feel like he can go back and become part of the family again. In fact, it says he's just going to ask to be like one of his workers. Now, think about that when it comes to the Lord and us. Sometimes, you know, we can, again, feel so far away from the Lord or feel so unworthy or undeserving of God's love and forgiveness. But in Ephesians 2:8, we are reminded that it is through grace we have been saved, through faith. It's nothing that we can do in ourselves, but it is the gift of God. Now think about that. So many people, you know, if they're feeling far away from God, they think, well, if I do this good thing, or if I help this person, you know, then the Lord will accept me. Then, you know, I'll be in the Lord's favor again. But that's not how God works. Like I said, it's all about God's free gift of grace that he gives us. That's why he sent his son, to save us. And there's nothing that we can do in ourselves. There's no matter how good we think we are, it's still not, you know, nothing compared to what the Lord has already done for you. Now, in this part of the parable, that grace comes in verse 20, it says, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." That's grace right there. Compassion means to suffer with or recognize the suffering of someone. And then not just recognize the suffering, but take action to try and help them. That is the greatest expression of love, when you can not only see that somebody's in pain or somebody's in need, but then you take action to help them in their time of need. And that's what, you know, we're doing with those shoeboxes. Bless, you guys are blessing those kids in their time of need. They're out there, and going back to India, you guys, when we went on our trip, and we've seen the kids out living next to these big piles of trash. And so many times, even when we went over our videos in BGMC Kids, remember the kids that were making toys just from things that they found in the trash? That was exciting to them. But to us, we look at it and like, man, that's really, really sad. So like I said, shoeboxes, Angie, woohoo, amen. We're blessing those kids with new toys. So you guys are being a blessing. And that's what compassion is all about, reaching out, showing that expression of love. The father was so filled with compassion and love. Like I said in the beginning, he just doesn't stand back and look and say, oh, there's that lost son of mine, does he? No. He sees him and he what? He runs to him with arms open wide. And he was so filled with joy that his lost son had returned home. Now, I'm sure the son was not expecting that kind of greeting at all. And I'm sure the son wasn't running towards home either. I don't know if anybody, kids, I was little once too. If I had done something wrong, I wasn't running back to mom and dad being like, hey, I did this. He was probably going pretty slow back home, thinking it is mine, how this is all going to work out. So like I said, he probably wasn't expecting the greeting that he received. He was probably expecting anger, rejection, but instead he only got love and acceptance. Amen. The father was so filled with joy, he even puts a great big celebration on, saying that this son of mine was dead, he's alive again, he was lost, but now is found. Now we come to the end of this parable, and there's many parts that we can focus on. There's so many great lessons from this parable. Forgiveness obviously is the biggest one, and that wonderful grace that the Lord has, but I'm just, for the rest of this time, I'm just going to focus on the character of the loving father. He didn't forget about his son. It says, even when the son was far away, the father saw him coming. Now, we can just read into that, okay? He saw him from far away. Maybe that could imply that father still was thinking of his son. And maybe, you know, daily was looking out at the horizon, man, just thinking, man, if I could just see my son again, if I could just see him coming. Again, I don't know, but if he sees him from far away, I would think he must be looking for him. And then when he gets there, he doesn't remind him, you know, of his wrongdoing, like right away. I don't think he even says anything. He throws a big celebration for him. He did not reject him or tell him he was worthless or how much of a disappointment he was. All he did was lovingly run to his son and offer compassion and grace. And that's just such a beautiful picture, again, of our Heavenly Father with us. No matter how far we feel away from God, he promises to never leave us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. No matter what we're going through, he is the God who stays. If you're feeling overwhelmed today, I'm going to give you some quick Bible examples. There's so many Bible examples, but for Stephen, I'm just going to give you Joshua. You like Joshua, right? All right, Joshua, talk about feeling overwhelmed. He's the one that has to take over some big shoes, the shoes of Moses after Moses has passed. And I'm sure when he was given that position that he was like, how in the world am I going to do this? But God, you know, through his wonderful love, in that very first chapter of Joshua, how many times does it say, be strong and courageous? And remember that I'm always going to be with you wherever you go. And that just so impresses me that just in the one chapter, I don't know how many verses is in that one chapter, but it's like 3-4 times he tells Joshua that, I'm with you. Don't worry. Be strong. So if you're feeling overwhelmed today, he's saying the same thing to you. Because God's word wasn't just for the people in the Bible. God's word is forever for us too. He knew what we were going to feel yesterday. He knows what we're going to feel tomorrow. He knows what we're feeling today. And he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Are you feeling lonely, sick, or rejected? There was a group of people in the Bible that we read about, the lepers. That saddens my heart to think about these poor people. And as a nurse, right? These lepers, they weren't allowed to be with their families anymore. No one could get around them. No one could touch them. They were basically isolated, you know, out all by themselves in all this pain, sick, lonely, rejected. But who is there? Who shows up not only to help them and to make them feel loved, but he heals them. And he doesn't heal. This is cool. I can't move far away, but I would. This is very cool. He doesn't say, oh, be healed. No. He goes and he actually what? Touches the leper, saying, I'm here. I'm here for you. So think about that. If you're feeling lonely, sick, or rejected, he's here for you too. Are you feeling unworthy, guilty, or shameful? Think about Peter, our man Peter. He says, Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he says in Matthew 26, even if I have to die with you, I'm never going to disown you, Lord. And then what happens? Not too much longer after that, Jesus gets arrested, and Peter, you know, is watching everything that's happening. And how many times does he deny Jesus? 3 times. Talk about feeling guilty, right? But who shows up later? After he rises again, right? Jesus appears to his disciples, and he pulls, you know, Peter aside, and he's like, let's talk. And that relationship is restored. He didn't leave Peter, even though Peter left him. And it even goes on to say in that, you know, the relationship was restored, but then he told Peter, now you need to go tell others about me, okay? So he has, you know, a work for us to do, too. The second part of that song that, you know, this kind of theme is all about today says, my shame can't separate, my guilt can't separate, my past can't separate, I'm yours forever. My sin can't separate, my failures can't separate, I'm yours forever. No enemy can separate. Amen? Amen. 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 No enemy can separate. No power of hell can take away. Your love for me will never change. I'm yours forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that just does something. What's Pastor say? Makes my liver quiver, right? Which Angie said, if your liver is quivering, there might be a problem. But we're using this as an exciting thing today. Nothing that anybody can do to us is going to separate us from the love of God. He is the God who stays. For those that are here today, and even for those that are watching, whatever you're going through, God wants you to know he's here for you. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. And he wants you to know that he'll never let you down. People will, right? We'll let ourselves down, but his love for you will never change. He promises to always be with us. And like the prodigal son, he just wants us, you know, to come back to him. Because he wants us to know that he's waiting, he's looking, he sees. And he's got those loving arms just reaching out. And it's exciting to think that when we do finally recognize that we need to, you know, come to him, get right with him, no matter what we're going through, that he's going to be there with those loving arms because he wants to comfort you and to help you. He is the God who stays. He does not give up on us. He does not reject us. Even when the enemy wants to tell us lies like we've drifted so far away from the presence of God, what does God say? No, I'm still here. I haven't went anywhere. He wants to help you, to heal you, to forgive you. And that's our one and only true God. That's what gets me through every day. And my prayer for all of you, like I said, whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, Kelly, that busy mom day, he's there for you. And he wants you to rest and have peace and know that he's there for you. And he sees it all. And he loves you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Would you close your eyes? We just thank you, Lord, so much for who you are. Lord, help us to recognize that we are not alone in this world. That you created us for a wonderful purpose. And even though, Lord God, we may feel like things are overwhelming or things are not going our way or we feel like we've drifted so far away from really the purpose that you have for us, help us to know that you're still there. That you're still working even when we can't see it and feel it. Help us to know that you are the God who stays. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today or if there's anyone watching that hasn't accepted the Lord into their heart, that hasn't experienced that true forgiveness, that true love, that true hope, that true peace, and that true joy that only comes from him. I pray, Lord God, that they would make that decision today. Because it is the best decision you can make your whole entire life. Jesus was sent down from heaven to seek and to save the lost. He wants to help you. He wants you to know that he's there for you. And he wants you to experience that great love that we can't even imagine. But if we would just come to him, he's waiting. He's waiting there with loving arms. And all we have to do, if you want to accept the Lord, is just ask. Talk to him. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and ask him to help you walk a new path, that path with him. He loves you guys. Amen.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Let's continue to believe that God is going to do a work in all of our lives and in his church, despite our current circumstances. If you would like to support the ministry of Salem First Assembly, you can do so by mailing to 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or by visiting our website at salemfirstag.org. Please join us for service next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., or you can watch service every Sunday afternoon on Facebook at Salem First Assembly or YouTube at Salem First AG. You can also listen to the message every Tuesday on Podbean. Have a blessed rest of your day. Let's remember to be a blessing, and that life is living in faith every day.